Please do be seated.
We all like the excitement of looking forward to a journey. Well, it depends if you know whether there's going to be any baggage handler strikes or whatever on the way. Fortunately, when we went to see our family in Switzerland at the new year, that threat had been withdrawn. But there's no such threat for our wise men as they prepared for their journey. I wonder what they needed with them compared to what we take with us today. We don't go anywhere without our sat-navs, do we? Or our Google smart apps. And I didn't need it to get up here, but I always have that with me, as you know. But we all need signposts and maybe a map. And, of course, our intrepid travellers had a star. And I've already mentioned about the star that was reported in the papers yesterday that's going to be visible in 2022. And it made me think about God's advanced planning. That collision that formed the star we're going to see in 2022 happened 1,800 years ago. Now, how God used the events of what's happening in the heavens as a sign for the wise men is part of the mystery of faith. But it just as I've been thinking about it, it made me realize just how everything is in God's hands. So they had seen this star rising in the east, and it had been to them a revelation of, as they say, the birth of the King of the Jews. And of course, seeing that it was the birth of a king, when they followed the star, they went to the place that was natural for them to think a king was going to be born, which was the palace. And we, of course, know the history of the tragedy of that event that led to Herod killing the youngsters under 2 years old. But just think about the visit that these wise men made. Now, we all recall that the first visitors to see Jesus were humble shepherds who were outcasts of Jewish society. And these second visitors, the second formal visitors that we know of, at least, were wealthy non-Jews, or Gentiles, as we describe them. So that's interesting, isn't it? How those who have been recorded as visiting Jesus range from the humble to the wealthy, the Jews and the non-Jews. Everyone is welcome to come to Jesus. And our Christmas story just emphasizes this to me, of how the good news of Jesus Christ is something that we want to share with everyone we meet, because we want them too to enjoy the good news that we enjoy. As we go on our journey, we need directions. And the Magi observed the stars and followed its travel to Jerusalem. And then its continuing journey into Bethlehem, which fulfilled that prophecy in Micah, which is that in you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, will be born a child who is King of the Jews. And what did they do? They brought to Jesus some gifts. They had these treasure chests that contained who knows what expensive gifts. But the three that have been highlighted in our reading talk of gold, which is representative of the royalty that Jesus is. It talks of frankincense for his sinlessness. It's a sign of purity for his sinlessness and his godliness. And it talks of the gift of myrrh for the future suffering that Jesus would take on our account, for myrrh are the spices that are used to help embalm the body at death. And having brought their worship and their gift to the young child Jesus, they continued on their way, but not in the direction they had planned to go. God continued to intervene and directed them on a different route, as we read, having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another way. Where are you heading? Do you know the direction of your journey? Is it somewhere that you have scheduled every stop, or is it something of a mystery tour? If it's scheduled, you'll have a clear route in mind and defined stops with a positive direction definition of where you're going. But perhaps there's more uncertainty and only hints about where you are going to go. And that speaks to us wherever we are in our life's journey. There are unexpected changes of direction that God may have for us, whether we're 9, 19 or 90. We just need to be prepared for his grace to show us where he wants us to go. And as we travel our life's journey, there is a gradual revelation to us of the route and the destination that we are to go. And I think that actually our life's journey is a mix of both those things. There is both the planned and there is the mystery, the uncertainty, the secret that God is going to reveal to us as we carry on our journey. Because that's what the mystery is, and that's the mystery that we read about in our letter to the Ephesians. In the Old Testament, God hinted at his overall plan for all people. Whilst we all know of the covenant that God created between Abraham and himself, part of that covenant was that Abraham would be a blessing to all people. And that's the first hint we have that God has in his mind everyone, all creation, to enjoy his blessings. This was revealed a little bit more in the book of Daniel. You may recall the account where Daniel interpreted, or indeed identified, then interpreted the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had about this giant statue. And that statue was indicating how the Gentile nations would come and be part of God's promise and take on the promise that had been made to the Jewish people. And a lot of all that is in the Old Testament was not understood and is difficult, even with our New Testament eyes, is difficult for us to understand. But God has now revealed it. And the main mystery that he has revealed is that we are now more than just receiving a blessing, as was indicated in his covenant with Abraham. We are now co-heirs. We are inheritors of the grace that God has for the Israelite people, the Jewish people. He has for us, his Gentile believers. He is highlighting, however, to us that sometimes we are blind to what he says, even through the words of the New Testament. Do we want to see what God has to say with us? Because if we see, then there is an expectation on us to respond. And I pray that just as that your eyes are opened to God's word, what he says to you, what you read in his Bible, that you will have the grace to respond. Because our response is indeed part of God's plan. Now, in the reading from Ephesians, Paul is exploring this mystery. You might like to take the sheet away with you and with a pen, just mark up how many times the piece speaks of the mystery and tries to bring some definition to us. Paul talks how the mystery was made known to him by revelation. He talks of his understanding of the mystery of Christ. How in former generations the mystery was not made known. And how now he is to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages, which is that all are now called as children of God. So this mystery was revealed to Paul, I like to think, with the first revelation for Paul was probably on the Damascus Road, where Jesus appeared to him in a vision, and where that realization of God's plan for him helped to clear one layer of this mystery. And Paul, or Saul as he was then, of course, was an avid Bible scholar. He knew his Old Testament. But God was saying, this is what it means to you. Paul talks about the revelation of the mystery of Christ, who, as we have just been looking at, was revealed to the wise men, the Magi, who are a type for all of us as Gentile believers in Jesus Christ. And we talk of the Epiphany, that revelation, as being the manifestation of Christ, the making known of Jesus to those first Gentile visitors to him. And day by day, we too can get to know Jesus better. We can have a daily epiphany of that revelation of God in our lives if we will only open our eyes to see. Elsewhere in the epistle, Paul talks of the mystery of God's grace to us. He makes a reference to it here in verse 8 about the unsearchable riches of Christ, the grace that comes through Christ's love for us. And he especially talks of the mystery of the gospel. What is the mystery of the gospel that we know and that we receive? And it is that we are all equal under God. We all have equal access to the Father. We have an equal right to discover faith, forgiveness, salvation, and sanctification, which is a big word for saying being made holy because of God's love for us. And what Paul emphasizes in his letter, and it's interesting, it doesn't really come out in the translation where we have here, but does in my Bible. I'm just going to read from the New International Version. This mystery, says Paul, is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. And that's evident there in the Greek words that Paul uses, that emphasizes this togetherness. And we are together too. To be a Christian is not a solitary task. It's not a solitary calling. It's a calling to be together as the body of Christ. And that's emphasized in the ongoing plan that we've actually already looked at this morning in the Psalm 72. It talks about how he shall deliver the poor who cry out in distress. He shall care for the oppressed. He shall have pity on the lowly and the poor. He shall preserve the lives of the needy. And this is pointing us at Jesus' calling to care for the needy and the oppressed. But you and I together are integral to God's plan working out. It is through our care for one another, our care for the needy and the oppressed, that God works the mystery of the good news. What I ask it's pretty close to New Year. What I ask of this New Year is for us all to stop and think, where do I fit into God's plan? That plan to bring the good news to the people who are desperate to hear it. And as I pointed out, no one is excluded from that need, from the humble shepherd to the rich wise man. That covers the whole spectrum of humanity. So we are on a journey. And we actually do know the end of that journey which is our place in the promised coming kingdom. How we get there is a bit of a mystery, and each one of us will have a different route planned out for us. But be assured and be comforted that it is a known plan to God, and he will reveal it as you need it known. I like to think of our Christian journey a little bit like following a stepping stone path in the mist. You might see two stones clearly, you might see a third, a bit hazy, but you have no idea where the rest are. But as you take that step, the rest becomes clear. And we have to travel. I do believe that God has given us two legs for a reason, which is to get up and travel for him. We're not just to sit and let the world happen around us. We are called on that journey. We have to travel to get to that destination. And I believe there are exciting things for us to do, to explore the boundless riches of Christ, as Paul writes in this letter. And how do we explore those boundless riches? Through Christian conversation with one another, through private prayer and study, and through that fellowship that we can enjoy as we come to worship and commune together. But please don't sit on the sidelines. There is a place, there is a role for each one of us. And wherever you think you are in that triad of belonging in a Christian community, believing the Christian faith and behaving as a Christian, we all have progress to make on each of those. We could be more involved. We could deepen our faith. We all know that we can develop a better Christian behavior. And that all comes from the deepening of our relationship with God and with each other. So as we come together, as we come to meet around the table, as we come to Christ's presence and know him with us, be prepared to be redirected on your way, as were the Magi when they left the house in Bethlehem. Expect change and challenge in your lives, in our lives as individuals, and in our lives as a community. We are called to travel, and we are called to keep alert, waiting and watching for the Lord until he comes. Amen.